which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered unto him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. Amen. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Simple title, simple thought. The power of his touch. Sub, when the word meets your condition. When the word meets your condition. The gospel, according to St. Luke, is written, again, we always talk about who Luke was, by him, the physician. Luke was a companion and friend of Paul. Luke was also a friend of Theophilus, who he wrote this particular letter to. It was a letter to let him know who Jesus was. It was a letter to let Theophilus know what was done by Jesus in his earthly ministry. And I always say that Luke, because he was a physician, he knew how to prescribe this gospel to us. Amen. He knew how to prescribe this to us so that we would have something to give health to our souls. Amen. And Luke, he wrote this to, again, Theophilus, whose name means lover of God, those who love God. That's who he wrote to. And so Luke, he wrote these things, and a lot of times he referred to Jesus as the Son of Man to help us to understand that Jesus came in the flesh, that he came in the flesh to do something that or to show us as an example what we should be doing to our fellow man and in the earth as being Christians. Amen. And showing us that as Jesus said, that greater works shall ye do because I go into my Father. Amen. So we do have a work to do. We do have a pattern to follow after. And that pattern is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we look at this, we find in this particular chapter, Jesus began to talk in the beginning of this chapter. He began to talk about some people who had some issues that happened, some people who died, and Jesus talked about their life, and then he began to speak a parable of the fig tree and how he began to say, and he was referring to and trying to get us to understand sinners and the space and time that God gives us to repent, and how God works with us in order for us to produce what he wants us to produce. Because he began to talk about this fig tree, and he said that the owner or the master wanted the fig tree cut down, but the gardener who deals with the fig tree constantly said, hold on, let's not cut it down because it's been unproductive for the last 3 years. Let me dig around it and then dung it, and let's see what it will produce. See, what we have to understand is that we are just like the fig tree sometimes. Sometimes we don't produce what God wants us to produce. But glory be to God, he does not give up on us. Because we got somebody that's been working with us when justice say that we should be cut down. And we should be taken out. And we should, as sinners, die a horrible death and be paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We still find that is a gardener who's been with us. Who's that gardener? Jesus Christ, who said, let me dig around it a bit. The Holy Ghost digs around and start moving stuff in our life. And then all of a sudden, we got some mess in our life that causes us to be able to produce what God knew that we could produce from the beginning. Amen. Jesus talks about that. But then after he was teaching in one of the synagogues, and you know, that's the good thing about being taught the word of God, because in order for you to benefit from, and this woman benefited from what Jesus was teaching, in order for you to benefit from the teachings or benefit as we want from God, we have to be taught by God. Amen. That's why when you're taught by the Holy Spirit, then there's something that happens after the teaching. There's two things that happen. There's results that manifest in your life because God wants them to manifest. And the other thing is that the devil comes and attack you. Yeah. The Bible says it. The Bible declares that when the word is sown, that the enemy comes in to choke it up, to snatch it up, to pull it up by the root, to dry it out, to make sure that it does not grow in your life. But when you allow the word of God to go into your heart and be planted into your life, the teachings of God, the instruction of God, then guess what? Then you begin to grow in God. And as you grow in God and you begin to grow, you begin to see the manifestations of God. And when you begin to see the manifestations of God, you begin to see and you begin to have faith in God. Amen. And so when you have faith in God, then God, the Bible says that faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore God said you must what? Teach the word. Jesus teaches the word in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Notice what Jesus did. He didn't just teach the word, you know, he taught the word every day, but he didn't just teach anywhere. He went to the synagogue because he was sent first to the Jews, and that's where they gathered. And you know what? God will come wherever we gather up. God will come when we gather up. That's why he said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I will be what? God there in the midst. I'll be in the midst of them if they will just gather in my name. The problem is sometimes we don't gather in his name. We just gather. Uh-huh. Come on and say amen. We got to get out of just gathering up because we want to gather and because we want to pull the numbers of people together. We got to gather up in his name. Why in his name? Because there's power in his name. It is in his name that demons fear and tremble. It is his name. Come on and say amen here. It is his name that is a strong tower that we can run to it and we are saved. It is his name that holds the authority. It is his name that causes us to be able to find the right path, because when we call on his name, he is as close as the mention of his name. Y'all with me today? And so he says that he was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was teaching on the Sabbath day. He was at church on the day that he was supposed to be at church. And he says in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift herself up. Let's look. This woman had a condition that everybody knew she had. She couldn't hide this condition. Like, we come to church, we got stuff on the inside of us we're able to hide, and nobody knows we're dealing with it. But this woman, everybody knew what was wrong with her. Everybody knew her condition. Every time they saw her, they was like, there's that woman again. Every time somebody new saw her, it got their attention. Her condition got their attention. They begin to gaze on her, start to what? Look at her, all right? And so her condition was bad because she could not lift herself up. She was bowed together. She was bent over to the point that she could not see up, but she had to look down. And so this woman could not even lift her head until the heels was coming her help, and know that her help come from the Lord, because all she saw was the earth. Oh, my God. This woman is symbolic. This woman is similar to the church that we know today. This church that we know today is bowed over. Come on and say amen. Because all we look at is the earth. We look at earthly things. We look at earthly functions. We enter entertainment and earthly stuff. And we're not looking up to our Savior. We can't even lift ourselves up. But we need a Savior to come and give us a word. Because when the word meets our condition, things begin to change. Y'all with me this morning? So this woman, all she could do was look down. She could look in the earthly realm. She couldn't see what's coming. She had to look at what she was stepping. She had to look at the ground, and she couldn't look and see anything ahead. In other words, she had no vision for the future. She couldn't see what was coming around the corner. She was bowed down. Look at her condition. And when we look at her condition, the cause of her condition, the Bible says that she had a spirit of infirmity. Now, there are some things that are not caused by demonic spirits, but then there are a lot of things that are caused by demonic spirits, and we must recognize that. We can't go through life ignoring that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He comes to bring issues in your life that you sometimes can't handle yourself, and so you have to call on the Lord. This woman had a spirit, the Bible says, of infirmity. And a lot of times we don't understand what a spirit of infirmity is. That means that the spirit from the devil made her sick. The spirit from the devil physically bent her over and bound her. Amen. We think that sometimes that is because somebody just had, we're taught that it's genetics. We're taught that it's what you eat or what happened to you when you was a child or something that went on. You were injured. But a lot of times it is not that. It is the spirit of infirmity. It is the devil, demonic spirits that operate to try to bend us over or to bind us. To keep us from being able to be versatile and mobile enough to do the will of God. Come on and say amen. Amen. And look at this. She had this condition that was caused by a devil, but then it was for 18 long years. Now, you got to think about this. This woman had been going to the synagogue for 18 years. She had been going, sitting and listening to the reading of the Torah and had gotten no better, but has been going year after year, week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, and not getting any healing. She was going to church, and if you would do the math, I would say it was probably out of 18 years she had went to Sabbath or to church over 1,000 times and nothing happened. But all glory be to God for the 1,001. When the word meets your condition, you don't know when your day is. That's why you can't miss, Lord help me today. You don't know when your hour is. That's why you can't just disregard your appointment with God. Because this woman had an appointment with Jesus, and she didn't know that today was her day. She was doing the routine. She was doing what was religious to her. She was doing what she thought was right. I'm just going to live through this, and I just deal with it. I'm bound up, and I can't lift myself up. I just make it to church, and that's all right. I'm good like I am because I've learned how to walk with this problem. I learned how to live with this problem. I learned how to go and worship with this problem. I'm not looking to get loose. I'm just looking to do my duty to God, and hopefully he'll recognize me and let me into heaven. Many of us are just like that. We come week after week with our issue. We come day after day with our issue. We worship with our issue. We worship with our infirmity. We come and we praise God with our infirmity and not expect him to do anything, because last week he didn't do it. Last year he didn't do it. Oh, probably 6 months ago we was believing, but we stopped believing after 6 months, and now we don't believe that God is going to do it, but we just come to church anyway. How many of us thought that God may not do it because he hadn't done it in all this time? This woman had an infirmity for 18 years. The number 18 in the Bible, the number 18 in biblical numerology, it means the number of life. It means it's the number 1 and the number 8 together. Or you can say the number 10 and the number 8 together. It means that was bondage, and bondage that went on for a while. Now that you have new life, you know, God, the number 8 is new beginning. The number 1 is significant because it's about God, because it stands alone all by itself. The number 10 is the number of order, and the number 8 is the number of new beginning. God gave her a new beginning in the order in which she came to service and heard the word of God. Come on and say amen. Now we see here this woman's condition is pretty bad because it's noticeable. She mentally probably suffers from insecurities because of her infirmity. She probably have not had a good social life because of her infirmity. So this thing is bugging her. This thing is a problem in every aspect of her life. Spiritually, she couldn't even lift up her hands or lift up her head if she wanted to worship God because she's bound up. And so this thing was affecting her in more than one way. Sometimes our issues affect us in more than one way. Our infirmity will affect us at work. Preach. It affect us at home. It affect us at church. It affect us in our prayer time. Don't you know that this woman, when she prayed, her infirmity came to mind, and she probably kept praying, "Lord, help me," and there was no help for her for 18 long years. We would have given up. Some of us would have said, "Ain't no need me going down there to the church. It ain't nothing happening over there. There's no power. There's no anointing to deliver me." Come on and say amen. But you don't know what day. You don't know the day of your deliverance. Amen. You don't know the hour that God is going to break you free. Look at this. And she was bound for 18 years and could not even lift herself up. Much less somebody had to come and she needed help. Somebody had to help lift her. She could not lift herself. Some things we can't do anything about. Some things, some infirmities we have, we can't lift ourselves out of the mess that we've gotten ourselves in. We can't get ourselves out of the situation that we've gotten ourselves into. We can't change what's going on in our life. And now we're feeling helpless and hopeless because of an infirmity that has been inflicted on us by the devil. People, the devil is real, but God is more real to me. We got to understand that because of the enemy, there are some things that we won't be able to get ourselves out of, but we need God to deliver us. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so she could not no wise lift herself up, so she was had a chronic ailment that left her hopeless. That was her condition. But then, and we looked at the cause, which was the devil, but then we understand the compassion of the Savior. Look at this in Jesus in verse 12 says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity." Let's look at this. Let's look at this. He says that the compassion of Jesus, Jesus noticed her. She didn't go to Jesus. She didn't come to the altar. She didn't ask for prayer. She just came to church. Don't you know that you have not a high priest that don't feel your infirmities? All you got to do is show up. All you got to do is be where he is, and he'll notice what's infirmed in your life. He'll notice what's giving you the most problem. He'll notice and he'll help you. I wish I had somebody here. When you have infirmities, when you got chronic ailments, when you got situations that seem like they're as hopeless and all hope is gone, you need to know that God knows what you're going through. And if he knows what you're going through, he has enough love and compassion to deliver you. It was love, and it is love that's going to get you delivered. Because he loves you. He had compassion. He had so much compassion. It says that when he saw her, he called her. But see, we got God calling us and we're not answering. Because we're dull of hearing. We can't hear what the Lord is saying because we're not paying attention. We're too busy being entertained. You know, the competition that God has now is not other people. It's not even the devil. You know what the competition is? He got to fight with people who are entertained all the time. We got to have social media. We got our minds preoccupied with stuff that we want to do, things that we got to do when we get out of here, things that keep us from coming in here. God is competing with that, and he's calling us to a place that he can give us true deliverance. He's calling us to a place that where we can get freed from the bondage that has got us bound down, and we can't do what God has called us to do. He says that he called her to him. Didn't call her to other folks. He called her to who? Him. He didn't point at the rabbi. He said, "Come to me." Remember the scripture, "Come to me, all you that labor in heaven laden, and I will give you rest." When he calls you to him, he calls you to give you something. He calls to give you peace. He calls to give you rest. He calls to give you healing and hope. He says that he called him to him. He said, "Woman." And the word "woman" in translation, it really is a word of endearment. Jesus cared about her. He said, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." It was her problem, but he took it upon himself. See, you got problems. It's your problem. But you got a God to say, "Your problem become mine. Because I love you so much." He said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Notice what happened. The Bible says that in the beginning, John chapter 1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on and say amen. And we know who that Word is. Who is the Word? Jesus. Come on, y'all talk back to me. Who is the Word? Jesus. And so when the word met her condition, something changed. When you allow Jesus to meet your condition, things begin to change because the word spoke a word. I wish I had somebody. Out of the word came a word. And he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. He was letting her know that you are loosed before she even felt the freedom, before she even felt the binding loosening. He told her that she was loosened. What we got to get our minds wrapped around is that when God says something, it may not happen the moment he says it. But you just watch. He's going to manifest what he said. God said a whole lot of stuff in these 66 books that we have not seen happen yet. But I guarantee that those things will come to pass because God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Do I have any witnesses here? This is a simple message to let you know that there's power in his touch, that when the word meets your condition has no choice but to change. Do I have anybody to say, I got a condition, preacher, that seemed like it won't move. I'm looking hopeless in this thing, but thanks be to God. The Bible says that we have not a hope. We have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. In other words, God will not let us down. God is looking to bless us. God, the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth looking for somebody. Are you the one? Are you in here today looking for one that he can prove himself strong to? Do I have anybody here? The Bible tells us, the Bible says, Isaiah said, that who is the arm of the Lord revealed? What does that mean? That means that who does God roll his sleeve up to and shows his muscle? Do I have anybody? He rolls up his sleeve so that he can get busy and work in your situation, work in your favor. Do I have somebody today that said God is rolling up his sleeve? I'd never forget once when AJ was a little smaller, he said, Dad, let me see your muscle. I don't have big muscles. I know a lot of people that got bigger muscles than I got, but I rolled up my sleeve and I showed him that muscle anyway. He touched it. He felt it. He said, man, you got some big old muscles. And I said, well, thank you. And to him, to my child, he thought that I had some huge muscles. And what I did was reveal my strength to him. And so what God is saying, you're my child. You ought to look at my muscle and realize that I'm strong enough. I'm powerful enough to handle whatever it is that you might be going through. I'm strong enough and powerful enough to be able to deliver you from whatever has you bound. Do I have anybody? Y'all don't want this morning. But I'm strong enough. There's nothing too hard for God. He can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Do I have two or three people on either side of the room that agrees that when I feel the power of his touch, when the word meets my condition, I'm not going to stay the same, but I'm changing because of God's word and what he said. I'm protected by the word of God. I'm able to overcome obstacles because of the word. That word's better than y'all saying amen here. He says you're loosed from your infirmity. He told her that she was free, but she was still bound down. Mm-hmm. But it was only for a moment, because by the time she got to him, my Lord. Look at verse 13. He says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. We understand her condition. We see that the cause was the devil, and we know that God had compassion, and that's what we have in order to do healing. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall cast out devils. All of this will happen for them that believe. Amen? And so in order for that to happen, we have to have the love of God. Why is the love of God there? Because the Holy Ghost put the love of God there. Romans 5:5, the Holy Ghost is given to us and shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. And so he says, now we see the cure. The woman came to Jesus, and not only did she walk to him to get her cure or to get her healing or to get her deliverance, but she came to him that he might touch her. You see, some of us, we come and we hear the word, but we don't get touched. That's all right. You don't have to say nothing. I talk like this all day. We come, but we don't get touched. What am I saying? We don't get close to him. We don't give total attention to him. We don't follow his instruction. We don't go to him and allow. allow him to experience us and us to experience him. Come on and say amen. The Bible said that in that day that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, and shall not enter into the kingdom. Why is that? Because he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, thou workers of iniquity. He said they're going to prophesy. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to carry a big old Bible. They're going to dress in a suit and a dress. But they're not going to make it because they don't really know him. They never got intimate with him. They never got close to him. They never let him touch them. Do I have anybody? You can't come to church and not let God touch you. He has to touch you at some point in order for you to be delivered, in order for you to be saved. You got to let God touch you. You got to have an experience with God that changes your life, that changes your stinking thinking. Your mind is changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm looking because I see some new stuff. That's why the old songwriter say, I looked at my hands and they look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Oh, come on and say, man, he touched my heart and he changed me, touched my mind and rearranged me. I know that God has touched me because I don't act like I used to. I don't do what I used to. I don't say what I used to. I don't go where I, come on and say, man, here. I don't think they're ready for that, Gus. They don't act like it yet. He says that he laid hands on them. And I know people don't like laying on of hands. But if we are the body of Christ, what is Christ doing here? He's laying hands. Why do we do that? So that people will have the experience of the touch. Because there's what? Power in the touch. He says that immediately after she made it to him And look, the thing about it is that this woman has an infirmity. She's been over and Jesus sees it, but he does not go to her. He calls her to him. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want a healing? How bad do you want a deliverance? Will you with your infirm self decide, I'm going to church? With your infirm self decide, I'm going to worship him. I don't care how much pain I'm in. With your infirm self, I'm going to give him praise. I don't care what they say. They see I've got some problems. They see something wrong with me. I don't care who knows what's wrong with me. I'm going in front of the folks. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to let him touch me. I don't care who's looking. He called me. He called me. He didn't call you. He called me. So I don't care what you think about me. After he touched me, you're going to see something different. After he touches me, you're going to see me lifted up. After he touches me, you're not going to see me with the same old problem. You won't be able to say, Dad, she go with her problemed self. There she go with her infirmity. You're not going to be able to say that. You're going to say, there she is, the woman that used to be this and used to be that, the man that used to be this, and God delivered him. God set him free. God cut the bands of wickedness that was binding them, and now they're free. Come on, do I have a witness here? He said immediately she was made straight. See, some of us are so crooked that we don't think that God can help us. But God can make us straight. And in the Bible says, and she glorified God. When she glorified God, all that means is that she gave God a tremendous praise. She began to lift up the name of Jesus. She began to shout hallelujah. She began to turn the church out. Because a lot of times we come to church and lay back. But people who've been delivered not going to lay back. That's why I wonder, what have you been through lately that God has delivered you from? Because if you've been through anything and you begin to think of what God has done for you, that's why the songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving or delivering. Do I have anybody in the house today that say, I've been through a whole lot of stuff, preacher. I had some things that I couldn't tell nobody. But I couldn't keep it to myself. Now I can tell them what the Lord has done for me. I can tell them that I was once sick, but God laid hands on me and healed me. I can tell them that I wasn't no good, that I was infirmed by the devil and looked like he had power.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Mackintosh, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 714.